Welcome to the Pete Primo Show. It is episode 167, and we are here with Brent Betterman. And the topic is how to win the sale in 2024. Before we do that, let's pay the bills real quick. If you haven't bought my book already, what are you waiting for? Sell a million, 101 tips for furniture and mattress store owners to sell another million or more this year. It's not a sales book. It's a marketing book for a couple cups of coffee. You can have this book and it'll keep you busy, keep you out of trouble, doing lots and lots of fun things to increase your business. And if you buy the book, call me at 419-560-3169. I will walk you through anything up to a half an hour, free consultant call, help you implement anything in the book. And I'd like to thank my sponsors at the Mattress Industry Network Group, where we help you market, network, merchandise, advertise, and succeed in the mattress business. Everybody's in here, from manufacturers, reps, to store owners, to owners of manufacturers, to VPs of sales. Join us. We want you in here. Stu, Pete number going into my CRM. I got a mattress sale going on, Pete. Stu, that's a good thing. And in addition to having Brent on the show, this show is unique because it is our probably one and only solar eclipse show, and I cannot see anything. If anyone has ever put on one of these glasses, you know right now I am looking at nothing but blackness. But I digress. Brent, welcome to the show, my friend.
How are you doing? Thank you so much, Pete, for having me on the show. This is fantastic.
I am so excited to have you on the show, because I was talking to somebody that you know this morning.
Okay, who's that?
Justin Trumbo.
Absolutely.
He told me, like, you are an absolute, like, legend at Mattress Firm. Like, you, like, traveled the entire country training people and staying, like, you had, like, a tour bus, like the Partridge Family or something. I know that's, you probably don't get that reference, but
it was I do.
So you had a bus, dude?
It was one of the coolest experiences that I've ever had when it came to work. And for four summers, maybe it's five, we had a tour bus, a little tour bus, from like a band, and we would travel across the country. A lot of times we'd start up in like Seattle in the Northwest and go all the way down, around, up and around, and kind of end in New York. And we would do that for four summers, maybe five summers. And we would try to go anywhere between 8 to 12 stops in a summer. And every day was a different city and a different day. And it was awesome. And what it was we would have the entire tour bus, like, be branded with either Progressive or Tempur-Pedic or Mattress Firm. I'll have to send you a photo. It was fantastic. And anywhere between 8 to 10 of us would be in this tour bus. And every time we're in a different city, we'd have like the Saturday morning sales experience. We would teach some stuff. We'd have a couple different speakers. We'd have the CEO, the vice president, head of sales, whoever else sponsored it. And we just try to give some really good items for the sales team too. Words of encouragement, some sales tips on the sales floor, how to connect with the guests. And they would literally, we'd have two buses. The first bus would get there at midnight, 1 a.m, and they'd go into the store, take all the mattresses and put it into a delivery truck next to the store, empty the entire store, put a whole bunch of chairs in. Everyone from the market would come. So we'd have anywhere between 20 up to 100, 200, 500, I think was the largest amount of people that we had. That was in New York. And every day was like that, Monday through Saturday. Then Saturday, we would go home, relax, and then have to be back to the next city, the next stop, Sunday night. And it was repeated over and over and over again. It was so much fun. And I got a chance to meet so many amazing sales individuals at every city we went to. It was a great experience.
Chris Tahaney says, Saturday morning sales experience. Haven't heard that term in years, and it's brought back some great memories.
I love them. I know, you know, maybe sales staff have, you know, different opinion. I love them because it got a chance for me to meet a ton of people, 25 to 30 people in a short amount of time and hear from them, ask them questions. I loved them. Plus, you got a little breakfast. Chick-fil-A was like every Saturday, it felt like is what you had. And coffee, well, of course.
We have Chick-fil-A at Market at DreamFit Space. So, Chris, there was somebody else that poked their head in here, and I just wanted to acknowledge them. Hey, Tim McDonald, happy Monday, fellas. Let's roll. Absolutely.
Hey, Jim.
Thanks for being here, Tim. So, Brent, this is what I hear about you. You are a salesman, and you are arguably one of the greatest sales trainers in the industry. So you've got a lot to live up to.
Yeah.
Like Ferguson is like, he's going to make your life miserable because how the heck are you going to live up to all this hype, dude?
One, thank you so much. Two, I don't believe that one at all. I met so many amazing trainers. I got a chance to work with some of the best with at Mattress Firm from the first day I started. I'll even give them names: Ken Murphy, Kerry Forbes. They recruited me. We can talk about a little bit more of that later. They just set the bar so high, and that's what I wanted to do when I first started in the mattress industry. I learned from so many people. I had great mentors who taught me the passion, the excitement of truly taking care of a guest. So I don't know if I'll ever be able to live up to those words. I actually know I won't be able to, but what I will do is I give my best effort. I'm going to make it the best experience I possibly can. And we're going to talk about how we can give the guest the best experience, because if we can do that consistently from the first moment the customer walks in the store, even if it's like at 9 o'clock on a holiday weekend, we will win at retail. And I think winning at retail is just making a friend before you try to make a sale.
Wow. That's super powerful. Making a friend before trying to make a sale. If you guys are sitting there taking notes, take a note right now, because he just said that really, really quick. But it's huge. It's incredibly huge. So I could take up this entire show, Brent, just asking you questions about your past and things that you've done. But I really want to give the guys some red meat right off the bat. The guys in the that own stores that maybe aren't having great traffic right now, Brent. And like, you have trained so many RSAs and sales pros throughout your career. And what tips would you give these store owners who maybe they're frustrated by their staff's performance, and maybe they're open to listen to some tips about how to better train them and how to better manage them so that the store enjoys more success?
So I believe we could talk about that topic for a couple hours, but I'm going to take a step back a little bit, sure. If you don't mind.
Pete. Go ahead.
You know, I failed more times than I succeeded on a sales floor. I don't think I was. Actually, I know I was not a good or just a natural salesperson. I had to work for it. And I had, as I mentioned, trainers and mentors that helped me along the way. And I also had a chance, and the reason I mentioned this is because it's become important in this conversation, is I moved 7 different times with Mattress Firm in about 10 years. I was on the sales floor for about 6.5-7 years and in multiple cities. And a lot of times those cities didn't have advertisement. We were the third or fourth stop, especially when I was in Columbus, Ohio. We hardly had any advertisement. I mean, they'll say we had a little. They probably told me at the time we had a lot, but we didn't have that much. And we were always a third or fourth stop. So I had to make, I had to use the tools that I had. And here's what I knew I could do. When the guests walked in the store, I was going to make them feel important. And I know this is easy. I'm going to tell you stuff that everybody knows, but maybe there's kind of a reminder, but this is what worked for me. When I was in those stores, I knew that I was only going to see 1, 2, maybe 3 customers at most. So what was I going to do? One, when they came to the store, I was going to smile and I was going to do a name exchange and I was just going to become really good friends with them and really ask them good questions that really what was keeping them up at night. The second thing that I would do, and this is probably before I even got to the stores, I would start practicing. You know, I'd get to the store 30 minutes beforehand. And I know this sounds cheesy, but it does. I would vacuum and I would practice my sales presentation because I would get them in that mindset because I knew that I only had one chance to make a first great impression. And when the guest comes in the store, I was going to do that. And I was going to be more friendly than anyone else that they saw that day. And I told them that. I was like, I'm here to take care of you. I'm going to give you the best experience possible. Now, to help drive traffic at some of those locations that didn't have all the advertisement or matter of fact, I mean, when have we ever been in a store that we saw too much traffic? I mean, I was in retail for about 20 years and I've never been into a store and someone's like, you know, Brent, the problem with this store is I have too much traffic. I've never heard it. Maybe you have, Pete, but I just never have. We've always wanted to see more traffic. And I'm talking even in 2006, people was like, well, that was supposed to be a real busy year. Still, we always want to see more customers. So I like having a little retail theater outside the store, not overdo it. And you can't do it every day because if you do it every day, it becomes customer just looks past it. But if you can do it on a certain holiday weekends and you can put up a banner, a sale sign, have some road signs and make it special and make that event where customers drive by like, oh yeah, I'm in the market for a mattress. I think they're 5 or 6 months in the market before they actually come to the store. And they keep seeing that on maybe on holiday weekends, you have some of those road signs, they're going to come in your store. Now, here's the key, your excitement, and it can't be overdone, it has to be your personality. Your excitement has to match what's going on in front of your store. So if you have a lot of stuff going on in front of your store, don't overdo it, but you have to have that same energy and you have to let them know that they came in at a great time. Today is the best time ever to come in because we have a great sale and I'm going to personally take care of you. I'm going to make sure you find the right matches at the right price.
You're making me believe, brother. Brandon Bain, you know this guy?
I do. Great individual. Brent
Batterman attitude equals 2006 MF Salesperson of the Year with a trophy. You humble guy. Somebody in Facebook says, I wish this guy was more passionate. I love your passion, Brent. Don't ever change. And Tim McDonald says, yo, bro, this is gold. And it absolutely is gold because even though some of it's repetitive, the way you're delivering it with your passion, Brent, makes it special and it makes it memorable and it makes us take notice. And that is huge. I love this part that your excitement must match your signs and your ads. When there's a disconnect, and I've been preaching this for years, when there's a disconnect between your messaging, whether any of your marketing, it doesn't necessarily have to be an ad. And they come in. And they got Eeyore going, and it's like, what happened to all the energy? What I thought something was happening here today, and I come in here, and the salesperson won't even get out, stand up, and say hi to me. And so making all that stuff match is always huge. Exchanging names, we take it for granted. It's a basic. It's blocking. It's tackling. Lombardi won all those world championships with blocking and tackling, and you can too. So smile, so basic, but so not done by too many salespeople. And here's something for you owners. Here's some real red meat. You'll hate me for it, but I'm going to say it to you anyway. Have your store professionally shopped and get a report on what your people say and do and how they behave when you're not in the store. And then share those results with them. And I'm going to tell you something. I worked for a store called Kronheim's Furniture 120 years ago when the dinosaurs roamed the earth. And we knew we were graded. We knew, we were told at our monthly meetings that we were being professionally shopped. And we would get notes from the owner saying, Pete, you were so awesome. We had you shopped. And the person that shopped you wanted to buy so bad, but they couldn't because they didn't need any furniture. And it's like, when they know you are shopping them, maybe their behavior will change. But you have to do it for your own peace of mind. If you're trying to build a business, that you don't have to be in every day, that you can like go on vacation and not see a severe dip in your business. You've got to have your store professionally shop. Now, the first thing out of your mouth is going to be, Pete, I can't afford it. Have a friend in the business do it for you who lives a couple cities away, and you return the favor for him. Okay. So it can be done. Don't tell me you can't do it. Brent, I see your wheels going. I don't want to stop you, brother.
I'm taking notes. I don't want to slow you down. You're doing awesome. So I was going to say, you asked a question about how we can help some of these business owners, and I absolutely want to come to that. But I did want to share the story, and I'm going to keep it brief. And Pete, you're just going to have to like beep or push a button to say, Brett, stop, because I love this story because it happened, and I told the day it happened, I told the managers, I'm going to tell this story forever. I won't say what city, I won't say what store, but it was a few years ago back, and I was traveling to different cities. And this particular store, I was talking about selling the sale, smiling, and just giving the best greeting you could possibly do. And the managers were awesome. And I know they were listening and they were smiling and they act like they were taking notes. And maybe they were taking notes. I'm not sure, but you could tell that they were just, yep. And you know that they weren't like 100% buying it. And I was like, okay, that's cool. And I kid you not, about 3 minutes later, the store manager was in the front at the desk shuffling some paper. I was talking to the district manager, and a couple walks in, and I smile and just like, and I wasn't trying to prove a point or anything. I would just naturally came to me all the years. I'm like, and the customer took a left and they started walking, and the store manager walked up to them and they go, no, thank you. And it felt really like kind of awkward, if you will. And then the district manager's like, oh no, they probably are going to try to return a mattress. What's going on? So the district manager walks up to the couple and he goes, can I help you? And they go, no, thank you. We want to talk to him. He looks friendly and is smiling. I sold a mattress. I sold a mattress, and I was like, and it felt like that next day was a Saturday sales experience. I never had so many people take notes. I don't know what they said. Not sure, but I'm telling you, it happens. And all I did was smile and just make a friend before I try to make a sale. And the other thing, if I was a store manager, or excuse me, if I was a store owner, one of the things that I think is huge, and this is what, if I have any success or there's anything that I've done well, is because I had mentors help me. I would not have been here today if I didn't have Steve Stagner, Ken Murphy, Matt Forbes, my cousin Tara Starr, Jason Starr. I mean, I could list 100 people. Now there's people probably going to text me, like, you didn't mention my name. And I apologize, but you get the idea. And I'm telling you, if you want to increase performance at your store, if you're an owner, if you're a leader, if you're a district manager and you're in the store and a customer walks in, some people, not saying y'all, or if you're a sales rep, is like, oh, I'm going to, it's probably take 30 minutes to an hour. I'm going to go back. I'll come back. I'm going to go out, take a phone call. No, that's your best time to coach mentors. Sit at the desk. Don't get in the way, but take notes. Find things that manager does well in that presentation. I call it the 1 to 3 or 1 to 5, one thing that they can improve on, 3 things that they do well, because you want to not just find things that they can improve on, but things that they do well so they can repeat those things. So if you want to grow your business, I think coaching after the up, it's free. It's mentoring. You get buy-in, and they may not appreciate it that day, but I am telling you, years from now, they will appreciate that so much because you made them better. You made them better on the sales floor. You made them better at a leader because now they understand the process of coaching, mentoring. I call it instant coaching, where you can give that feedback, and feedback is a gift.
I could not agree more. Instant coaching, I absolutely love that. And Brent, my story is the same as yours. It's different, but it's very similar. I would not be here if it wasn't for my mentors. My first mentor was my father-in-law, and I worked 5 days a week in a store. He was a sales rep. And then I would travel with him on my 2 days off. and I would go in a store. So I would learn how to be a rep while I was learning how to be a sales pro. And I was being exposed to a lot of different stores, and I was being exposed to a lot of different people. So, you know, my network, like within my first year, was huge, and it just kept getting bigger and bigger. And I got a bunch of phone calls like, how did you know that this thing that happened before anybody else knew? And I'm like, I've been blessed my entire life with mentors. And I'm an eager beaver. You saw me smile when you get there 30 minutes early. Yeah. And you can't demand that of people, but the people that do that are the special people. Facebook user, you get priority. Make getting feedback part of your culture. Demand feedback and give it with L-O-V-E, love. And there's two things that you should be getting from Brent right now. He loves people and he loves this business. If you don't get that, you are blind and you are deaf, because this dude loves people and he loves our business. And our business is special in that we get to change people's lives for the better. We can make them a better mother, father, sister, brother, fireman, policeman, whatever they happen to do with their life, they can be better if they were not getting as good of a night's sleep as they should. And we can help them with a well-diagnosed sleep system, help them change their life for the better. There is nothing better in the world. That was my sumo kitty yelling. Brent is a stud. Yes, Justin. Brent is a stud. And I love your passion, Brent. And Justin's 100% right. And I've
Thank
got
you, Justin.
Image. I'm a male Allie McBeal. And so I've got this picture of the Partridge Family bus with all you mattress guys. You piled into it and coming out and like taking over a city. And like, you know, sometimes what our salespeople need the most, Brent, is they need the intangible. They need the conviction. They need the passion. They need our energy and they need our goodwill for them. When they feel like, hell, this guy really cares. He cares about me. He wants me to win. He wants me to be successful. He's coaching me because he cares. When we get there and we get this part right, the other stuff takes care of itself.
Oh, 100%. I mean, there are so many things that we could talk about in that. I mean, it goes back, take care of the customer, they're going to take care of you. If you're a manager or leader, take care of your sales team. Teach them how to make a living on the sales floor. And another thing that I like, and this is, you know, owners can decide if they want to do this or not, but when I was a district manager, once a month, the first Wednesday of every month, I would put all three of my area managers, we'd be all in the same car, and I called it windshield time, and we would discuss the business, how we were going to coach and get the next store visit, the associate, get them excited about what they did. And we would have that collaboration, that team effort on four individuals focused on that one individual to help them wherever they were in the career. Sometimes we would focus on people that just started. Sometimes we focus on people that have been there for a while. But once a month, we would have windshield time. And I think that was one of the best things I could do, because we would get a chance to discuss. And I didn't even actually talk that much, believe it or not, in the store visit. Now, if some of my previous area managers listening, they'll probably send up new notes and say, I talk more than you say. But I actually tried not to talk. So when I went into the store visit, my area managers would coach and give feedback on how the store looked, if that associate was taking care of a customer, they gave feedback. And then my job, I thought, was really to give feedback to their feedback. And how were they still able to give one strong affirmation, two, three strong affirmations with maybe one thing that, you know, they could help them improve upon next time. And that's what I did for multiple years. And I believe that was secret sauce, if you will, and really helped my team grow.
Yeah, I've heard that one-to-one, but the 3-to-1 ratio, I really buy into that. Much more powerful. So if I have a store owner who says, Pete, ask Brent this question. How do I get my salespeople to stop believing in beanbags without being a total ruthless butthead about it?
You know, the data doesn't show a lot of beanbags actually come back. I know we all, I did when I was on the sales floor, I believed in the beanbag bus. I mean, I still, that bus is still driving around there somewhere, right? and I believe this, and this, there's going to be people that disagree with this, and that's okay. I believe if you want to sell a lot of great books, talk about closing, because it is important. But if you want to sell a lot of mattresses, it's about that first impression. That person walks into the store, making them feel like they came at the right time, the right place, and you were going to take care of them. And it goes back to make a friend before you try to make a sale, use the name exchange. And if you can consistently do that, I know what I'm talking about, but I believe it's that important. If you just make the guests feel like they're important, you're going to win more than you lose. Now, I believe that they say the sales won or lost in the first 2 minutes, maybe it's the first 3 minutes, but if we can get them to buy into, we're going to take care of them, we're going to give them the best price possible, we're going to mention the sale, we're going to talk about all the great financing options, that this is the right place, and we make them a priority, we're going to win more sales than not. And I don't have a percentage, but I just believe that in my heart. I experience it. I've seen other people do it.
Awesome. And so do you have any prescriptions to help them with this beanbag belief? Because this is what I believe. I believe that when we start believing in beanbags too much as a sales pro at retail, I believe that we start to hold back and we don't go all the way in. We don't push all our chips to the center. And when you don't believe in beanbags, you push all your chips to the center and you give them the absolute best effort that you possibly can give them, because in your mind, they're not coming back. So I need to do everything I can to help them make a decision now, or at least get closer. And that is after we establish that rapport. And I think the rapport piece of it has to be genuine. I really believe that if you're in sales and you don't like people, you're in the wrong business. Me a favor, get out. Because for 43 years, I've been trying to coach people like you. And if you really fundamentally don't like people, you're not going to be successful. If you really love people, I can teach you all the technical stuff. That's easy. If your heart is right and your attitude's right, I can get you there. So I heard something about beanbags, and I think it came from a district manager. Heck, Brent, it might have been you. I don't know. Hey, Tim. Tim McDonald says, this is 100% true. You'll win or lose a sale in the first 2 minutes. The beanbag bus has a blown motor, by the way.
It's true. It's true.
It does. Facebook user says, new data says people are now shopping over three locations when past data saw 1.8 locations. You better close them and stay connected if they walk. They are not coming back. Thank you, Facebook user. I wish I knew who you were.
I also heard that, like, and this is back in the day, and this may have changed, but it felt like they were only in the market for 2 or 3 days, and they only stopped at 1.8 to three locations. I mean, that's still enough data that says when the guest comes in your store, they're probably not going to come back. Even if they went somewhere else and like, oh, we kind of like that other place, but we're tired. Let's go. You know, let's just buy here, you know? So I think it's also providing solutions to what's keeping them up at night. It's all that builder rapport, but you also got to find out what's keeping them up at night. And as a sales associate, I believe the best thing that you have are questions. Questions are your best friends. And asking those open-ended questions, making sure you're listening to what's keeping them up at night. And the guests may not even always know what's the challenges, but by asking those questions, and I always like to say this, ask questions on questions about questions on questions to really get the information from that guest, so you can give a great solution. when you can give them a solution that what's keeping them up at night and mention how it's the bed is also on sale, you're finding them a solution that they're going to be happy with, because one, they're going to get better sleep and they're more likely to purchase than not.
So I figured out the Facebook user, none other than the pink jacket man himself. So this is what I heard, that I think it started in Mattress Firm. You start with a jar and you say to the salesperson, every time that someone says they're going to be back, you can put a penny in that jar. Every time they come back, you can take three out and you will never be without money. You've seen this before. You started.
I've heard it. Yeah. I didn't start it. No, that was not me. It's super creative though. That is not me. That is awesome.
Yeah,
I mean, it is. And I think it's kind of seen as believing and on that. And I know sometimes that we had that guest that does come back, and that's, we remember that. We're like, I told you to be back, you know, but more times than not, they don't, for sure.
Yeah. Yep. So we've got a store owner. He's trying to get his salespeople to perform at higher levels, coaching on the positives, instant coaching. What other things would you recommend?
So I believe one, I have a couple things that I would kind of go through, and I'm going to probably mention a few of them a couple times here. But one, I think reading books is key. You have a book. I mean, you have to become a student of your profession. It makes sense to me. You're always adding in new ideas, and there's so many amazing books out there. I'm a huge fan of The 7 Habits. It's not necessarily a sales book, but I love that. I'm also a fan of The Greatest Salesman in the World. Those things can keep you focused on what you can control. The other thing is, you know, I came from playing sports my entire life, and practicing beforehand is just key. And the more you practice, I know not everyone likes to role play, but I am telling you, why practice and role play with a when it's live with a customer? That's your paycheck. But when you practice, even if it's by yourself, or you call someone that, you know, at a different store and practice those things, it just makes you better. And to warm up beforehand by practicing before the day starts, you know, getting there 30 minutes beforehand, vacuuming and just kind of going through those scenarios is ideal. And I know a lot of people are like, I don't know, Brett. Okay, let's change topics here. Pete, do you have a sport that you, do you like sports? Do you have a sport that you like? If not, I can talk about one of my sports.
I love sports. What sport do you like?
I like basketball, football, you know. And I grew up being a huge fan of Michael Jordan. Love Michael Jordan. And could you imagine watching a game and Michael Jordan get there 2 minutes before the game started and didn't warm up or practice? He'd be like, Michael, what are you doing? That's crazy. Well, sometimes, unfortunately, we do that. We show up to the store and we haven't practiced. We're not warmed up. So when the guest comes into the store, you're not as ready as you possibly can be. And you never know when that next customer comes in is going to be looking for a purple mattress on a power base or a Tempur-Pedic on a power base. And so you want to be your absolute best. So you ask, like, what are some easy sales tips to do? Is one, read, be a student. Two, practice, role play, perfect your skill. The other one, if I was an owner of a mattress company, I would do this 100%. I would find my best sales associates, and I would help, I'd put them in spots to be teachers. I think once you become very proficient on the sales floor, the next level is to teach. If you teach it, you'll become better. You're more consistent, especially if you have an individual in your store. You're talking about every time you should show a power base to every customer. You're training on that. And then you have a customer come in, you have to show them the power base. It makes you more consistent on the sales floor. And the more consistent you are, the better results you are, because the guest gets a better experience. The next thing I think is mentoring. You know, if you practice, you role play, you teach, mentor. Mentoring will, I believe from my own experience, has given me more than I was able to get. Like when I mentor, I try to do it with, my heart, my mind, all in,
but I always get paid back. And I don't mean to, but I benefit because I love the conversations. I love seeing people grow. And anytime that I can coach and mentor, I love it. And hopefully the individuals that I mentor get something from it as well, because I know I do.
Wow. There's a lot to unpack there, and we could go for hours on this. But I have to tell you something. I was a horrible salesperson when I started. And the very first book I got was a Zig Ziglar book, 100 Secrets to Closing the Sale. And we were poor. I mean, we were poor, really poor. And it wasn't getting any better, me being a salesperson, and hated the whole idea of sales, hated everything about it. And then once I kind of got the mind stuff right, that I could really change people's lives. And I started reading other books. And we started to do role play. I'll never forget this as long as I live. Salesperson looks at me. His name was Darren. He goes, "Pete, there's nobody coming through the door." I go, "I know." He goes, "Well, we've done everything we can to get people to come through the door." He goes, "Let's role play. At least this way, we won't be sleepy when they come in." And so we would role play. And I got to tell you, I got more out of that role playing. And anybody that is going, "Pete, I hate role playing. It sucks, blah, 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 blah." I'm going to tell you this. No, you suck. You need to wake up. If two people who hate this business role play, they both suck and they put no energy into it. Yes, role playing sucks, but role playing is awesome when two sales associates are trying to sharpen iron with iron, when they're trying to make each other better and they're actually being real, like giving real objections. Like, I learned how to overcome so many objections with role playing that when it happened, I had already done it 100 times. Some of those objections, the very first time I got them, it was like, "I've been waiting for you, friend." And when that is your attitude, right? When that's your attitude, "I've been waiting for you, friend," you're going to make the sale anyway. And it doesn't even matter if you screw the words up. It's your attitude. But when you're like, "Oh, what happened? That's an objection I've never heard before," and you're scared, guess what? It doesn't matter if you remember the perfect word-for-word thing and you regurgitate it perfectly, you're dead in the water because of your attitude, because of everything internally that was going on. So I'm stealing the show, and I see you want to talk, my friend.
No, you're not. This is your show. I'm listening. I'm taking notes. Like, if you saw, I'll show you all the notes I'm taking for you, Pete. It makes me think of as well as, if you lead with the heart, and you make it about that person, like you truly are coaching them so they become better. Wow. Sometimes it may take a while, right? But once you build that trust, just like when you're taking care of customers, once you build that trust and you do it for the right reasons, coaching becomes your culture. And when coaching becomes your culture, you can do anything you want. And I've seen it. I've been a part of it. When I was on teams that had an amazing culture, and I was blessed, and I've been on so many of those teams at all the different cities I had a chance to work at. When we were great with coaching culture and practice became what we did, we achieved budget more times than not. And then every time we hired someone, they just bought into the culture. And it wasn't about just getting them to sell mattresses. It's like, "All right, now you're going to become a district manager in 3 years. What are you doing today to get you there?" And we started working out that map on them. So every day was about practice because they saw they wanted to get promoted. They wanted to run their own market. And I've seen it dozens and dozens of times. Some of the most amazing leaders that I've seen, I had a chance to work with that mattress firm, and so blessed to meet so many of them, know so many of them.
So I couldn't agree with that more. On Black Friday, I was in Paducah, Kentucky, and I was working at Happy Z's. And there were a few times that I got to take a few ups and made a few sales with some help because I didn't even know how to actually write up a sale at their store. But the thing that amazed me, and this is at Happy Z's in Paducah, Kentucky. Anybody that hasn't been there, you are serious about the mattress business. You need to make a field trip. Call Scott Vaughn ahead of time and you need to make a field trip. So the very first thing I noticed when I walked in, I have this thing. It's really kind of strange. I always want to know how a store feels. And so I literally like put my feelers out. Mm-hmm. And the positive energy almost bowled me over. Like there was so much energy. So let me tell you how my day started on Black Friday, Paducah, Kentucky. I went for a 3-mile walk and it was like 2 hours before the store opened. Mm-hmm. And I looped, didn't really know where I was going. And I looped around the store somehow. And it was an hour and a quarter before the store opened. And I see salespeople going into the store.
That's cool.
A half an hour, not an hour. An hour and 15 minutes early. And I got to tell you, I could not get back to my room fast enough to take my shower, get dressed and get over to the store because I wanted to see what was going on. I mean, why are they here so early? Why are they so excited? And the average age, Brent, this is going to blow you away. The average age at that store for a salesperson is probably 25 years old. And I will put them up against anybody. Now, here's the crazy part. Scott Vaughn, who owns it, has done such a great job. He is a basketball coach at heart. So if you like basketball, you'll just love talking to this guy. And he has spent so much time pouring himself into his store manager, Nicole, who I call Superstar. And she is literally a superstar. She's a little Pete Primo. I wish she would just calm down just a little bit and just relax a little bit. Cause when I was young, I was really, really hyper, but I guess you could tell. Anyway, I saw something, Brent, that I've never seen in 43 years of doing this. I saw salespeople in the middle of a sale come over to the other members of the team and they huddle. And they start saying, this is what I said. This is what I showed them. This is the feedback. And they're coaching. And then they're doing all kinds of different things. I mean, they're sending the person back in and sometimes they're bringing the sale back. Other times they're bringing somebody else in. They're actually TOing and sometimes making a full TO where the new salesperson finishes the sale. But here's the crazy thing. They're all on commission and they all do it for free to help the other teammate. They don't want half the sale. They just want to help their teammate win. And I saw something that was really freaky. Hey, I'm up, but where are you at? Oh, you're almost at $10,000 for the day. Take my up. I saw that. I couldn't believe it. I've never seen that in 43 years, Brent. These kids are playing as hard as they can play, having fun, doing the right thing for their customer, and they are coaching each other. I've never seen this before. So you got to put that on your travels to go see.
Oh, I take a note. I love seeing that. I mean, you know, there's a quote out there, you help enough people get what they want, eventually you'll get what you want. I mean, and that's what it is. I mean, helping people teach them to perfect their presentation on Salesforce helps everyone. It just does. And team selling, I'm a huge fan of team selling. I think it's
key. And I think guests love it too. When you walk in and everyone's having fun, it doesn't matter who's helping who, as long as everyone gets helped, that doesn't go unnoticed and customers buy at that location.
So we could do this for another 2 or 3 hours, but they're going to pull the plug on us in 13 minutes, dude. And I have had so much fun. Stephen Ferguson, the man in the pink coat, the man, the myth, the legend, the second best trainer. I saw that quote, Brent. I know you saw that quote. Stephen said, I consider myself the best trainer until Brent walks in the room. That's a great quote. I love that. So his question is, and it's a really good question. How do you make it part of your culture?
I think it starts from the top, and that's part one. And then I think it starts with the top store managers. They set the pace in their store. You know, if I started tomorrow, the store manager, first thing I do is, make my store perfect, and I'm coaching. I'm letting people know why I'm coaching. I'm not just going to be walk up to you and be like, hey, can I give you some feedback? Cause you never know, like what are you going to say? What did I do wrong? Right. Versus if you set, that culture of feedback and leaders go first. So if leaders go first, instead of me giving feedback, I won't give feedback for multiple weeks for someone that just started. What I'm going to have them do is give me feedback on what I could have done better, what I did well. So they get comfortable giving me feedback and they understand what it is and why they're doing it. And then they can hear me accept it. Be like, I appreciate that. Thank you. And then have me constantly, consistently perfect my presentation. Then there becomes a point. Maybe it's not 2 weeks, but whatever that timing is, where they'll be like, hey, will you coach me? Then you started something very special, something very unique, and you created a culture of coaching.
Wow. Guys, if you didn't hear anything else and you just get that, write that down. It starts at the top and you reverse roles and you get them to ask you to coach them. That is the fine art of selling. And when you're coaching salespeople, you're selling. And you're selling them that you are the guy. You are the guy or you are the gal. And you have answers. And it goes back to that Zig Ziglar quote. And you know what? Here's another one. They don't care about what you know until they know that you care. And when you're asking them for feedback, you're saying, I care. I care about you. I care about your opinion. And when you put enough of those deposits in, now they're coming towards you. And when they're coming towards you, asking you to coach them, that's where all the magic starts. And
it does. Being what I said earlier, I'll finish the quote. I stopped a little bit earlier. I said, what we say, how we say it matters, right? And so does coaching and influence. And asking questions is a part of coaching. It's not just like, hey, here's what you could have done better. Here's what you did wrong. No. If I'm coaching, I'm going to say, hey, walk me through three things that you did very well. And they're going to give you one and they're going to try. No. Give me three things you did very well because I want to establish what you're doing well. And I want us to repeat those. All right. Once they give you those three things, then you go into, all right, which one thing you wish you'd have done differently if the guest was back in the store? And this goes for if they purchase or do not purchase. You should be coaching both. And coaching is asking questions. They ask the open-ended questions. And once they give you the three things they did very well, one thing they would change, then I would say you can go into giving them a little bit of feedback and try this. And then what you do is you go into practice and role play.
So you see how Chris Stone, the greatest podcast producer on planet Earth, is nudging me. He is saying it's Brent's time to talk about his role and his company. We have 9 minutes left, Pete. Let Brent talk about his company. Brent, walk me through your new role. You're the VP of Business Development and Education at Bedhead Marketing. Tell me about it.
I love my team and what we do. We focus on the mattress and furniture industry. We have a ton of individuals that have a ton of experience in that space. And I'm stealing this from Brandon. He's R. Ferguson, maybe both of them. But they say, we want to be friends with everyone in the industry. And that is true. And what we do is we specialize in a lot of different areas in the industry. And like the companies we work for, we may not have everything, or we do everything for them. For example, we can remake a website. We can do 3D rendering. We can have your mattress. We can have it come apart and go back together. We can do sales process. We can help you look for your next collection in 2024. What products are going to go on your floor? We can do marketing. We can do training. We can do social media. we do leadership training. We do everything a company would need in our space, but we also can customize it for just that consumer or that customer of ours. It could be either for manufacturer or retailer. Maybe they just need us to help with two or three items, and it's all with digital, or maybe it's just with marketing, or maybe they just need us to help them do a product launch. Whatever that is, we can customize that service for their needs to help them instantly improve some of their KPIs in retail.
And for those of you who don't know what KPIs are, this key performance indicators, they're very important, and you probably already keep track of KPIs, but you just weren't aware of the term. So just a little education for my little solo store owners who don't understand what a KPI is. Now you know what a KPI is, and it was 100% free. So, Brent, we're getting to the end. Is there a question that I really should have asked you that I just didn't ask you, that you really want me to ask you so that we can help some more store owners out there be more successful in 2024?
It's a great question. I think probably if you'd ask me one question, like, how do they get maybe, if I've ever had success, if you'd asked me, Brent, like, what's the one thing or one reason, if you've had any success in this industry, what was it and why was that? I would say, and I might have kind of hinted to it, but it's coaching, mentoring, and, the amount of people that put, time and energy in me to allow me to succeed is something I'll always be grateful for. I owe so much to so many people, and I appreciate them. So I guess me telling people thank you, I'm grateful. And I'm now in where I want to give back and do that stuff for as many people as long as I possibly can would probably be what my focus is going into 2024 and 2025. And I'm going to do that on the Bedhead team, and that'd probably be it.
I wish I had asked you that question, but I saw it on full display for the entire time that we've talked. Your passion, your energy, your depth of knowledge, none of this is an accident. This is on purpose. You care deeply. That I get. I didn't know you before the show. Now I feel like I really understand like who you are. You are somebody who's been committed to excellence for a long, long, long time. And it's obvious that you have thought deeper about these things than 90% of the people that I've had the pleasure of talking to. Anybody that caught the tail end of this, I'm going to tell you, go back, get a blank notebook, and just start writing it down, because it's all here, from how to greet a customer, how to approach your profession. It's all here. And you literally just got in an hour a playbook on how to coach retail sales pros into greatness. And If you work for yourself, I've got some bad news for you. You got to coach yourself. And you may not be that coachable. So you're going to have to go back through this and you're going to have to put the hat on of a coach and the hat on of a sales pro who's learning his or her lessons. This was great, Brent, an absolute joy to get to know you better. I want to ask you one last question though.
Please.
Is there anything in this industry that you were particularly proud of? Teams that you led, products that you developed, new ways of improving what happens between a salesperson and a customer? Is there one overwhelming success that you would want to share with us?
I'm gonna cheat a little bit again too. I think product launches was something that I absolutely enjoyed. This is going to be kind of part two of that. Be able to launch companies like Intellibed, Topol to market was really, really fun. Tempur-Pedic, all their collections, Stearns and Foster, Serta Simmons. I mean, I had so much fun. And it just wasn't about launching the product. The way we did it was unique. We did something different. We launched a product from the manufacturing sales floor. Think about that. And we got a ton of that and meeting so many great individuals. I know there's so many great people in the retail, but there's also so many, just as many people in the manufacturing. My wedding should have been sponsored, I felt like, by the mattress industry, because almost half of my wedding was either people that work with or manufacturing. Like, we should have like Tempur-Pedic on the side of our suits, or have a happy hour. I don't know. We looked at, but so that's kind of it. But I think the thing that I'd probably say that I was very blessed to be a part of a team, and the key word is team. I got a chance to be a part of where we launched in the mattress industry. I believe the first waterfall where we had all the financing companies work together as one. And we did it for the right reason. We did it to make it easier and more convenient for the guests so they can get a better bed. That's why we did it. And to be a part of that team and to do something that no one thought was going to be possible. And some of you that are working today, just to let you know, I'm going to sound like my dad now, which is embarrassing. You may want to edit this part out, but I'm like, back in my day, like, my dad had to walk to school uphill both ways. Like, it's going to sound like that. But back in 20 years ago, 15 years ago, if a customer wanted to fill out financing and it was just like Wells Fargo or Synchrony, it took an hour, 40 minutes. You had to build in your presentation. You're like, hey, you want to be financing? We'll get that paperwork started. And then you can decide what bed you want. Or we'd be like, hey, I know you love that bed and you want to finance it. It's great. I'm going to have you go to Starbucks, bring your seat back. I'll take the $5 off the mattress, and it'll take about 30 minutes. Like, you've built that in your presentation. And then if they wanted to do all their financing, like Progressive, it would take 2 hours. I mean, it was crazy. So I was very blessed to be part of a team that was able to take that process and put it into 5 minutes, and to work with all those individuals in that space and bring it to retail. We were allowed, we did something very unique, and it helped the guests get a better bed. And I love that. And they say that most mattresses that are sold with financing also come with the power base. So we're also helping the guests sleep better when we talk about affordable monthly payments, because no one's going to buy an $8,000 bed, but they will buy a mattress for $135 a month, complete sleep system.
Yeah. There's one of my teammates, Red.
Oh, absolutely.
And that's Ken, so cool. Tatum. I worked with Kenneth at Sutherland. Wow. It's a small world, brother. And there such is the moment. Man.
Yeah. Ferg is awesome. He's a great leader.
Thanks for
he
being is, here, Ferg. We appreciate so, you.
I do appreciate it. And I don't give him enough compliments. And I'll do this. I not because he brought us picture, but today I was sitting there listening to him, and he's so well-rounded when it comes to just giving feedback on if it's graphics, if it's my training, if it's marketing. He has he's probably one of the most well-rounded professional leaders I've ever met, because he's good at everything. And I get jealous sometimes, and it is what it is, but he's amazing, and I'm very blessed to work with him and the team.
Steven says, love you guys. We love you too. And really quickly, you know what you have to do, Brent? You didn't do it. Get that phone out. Say hi to mom and dad.
I want to do a
Primo show.
I do. I want to get a show. This is so cool. So
hi,
lucky
mom
to
and
be
dad.
On there. Let's do this.
Hi, mom and dad. Brent,
hey, mom and dad.
Brent is on the Pete Primo show today.
Love it. I love it.
Take care,
appreciate
guys.
Do that.
Sell a million. Thanks, Brent.